Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 90-day Bible Challenge, where we read the Bible every single day at 2 p.m. live until we finish the Bible in 90 days, which is why it's called the 90-day Bible Challenge. So we appreciate that you guys are here. It's going to be an amazing day. Once again, we are reading Numbers 22 to 32 for today's reading. You can jump in at any time. If you just joined, just jump on with us. You don't have to catch it from day one. Join us, where we go through the Bible every day. It's just great. Get your family and friends together. Get pizza. I don't know. Get coffee. Do whatever you do and make it a fun thing every single day. I'm pre-recording this because my wife is currently having surgery. We are at the hospital right now, but I'm recording this the night before and airing it live at 2 o'clock. Told you guys that if I'm busy or if I feel like it, I'll be pre-recording and then airing these streams live. So we make sure we're live every single day at 2. Obviously, if I'm traveling and preaching, I'm not gonna be able to be live at 2. I'll be on an airplane. So I will record them and air them live at 2. And I'll have friends and family helping along the way as well, just so we can keep this going. Streaming every day is no joke. I'll just tell you right now, we're on day 12 and it's no joke. So with all being said, Numbers 22, verse 1, Balak sends for Balaam. Then the people of Israel traveled to the plains of Moab and camped east of the Jordan River, across from Jericho. Balak, son of Zippor, the Moabite king, had seen everything the Israelites did to the Amorites. Oh, I forgot my scroller wheel. Here it is. There you are, right there on my lap here. When the people of Moab saw how many Israelites were there, they were terrified. The king of Moab said to the elders of Midian, "This mob will devour everything in sight, like an ox that devours grass in the field." So Balak, king of Moab, sent the messengers to call Balaam, son of Beor. Let me make sure my mic's on, because that would be awkward if it wasn't. All right. Who was living in his native land of Pethor near the Euphrates River. His message said, "Look, a vast horde of people have arrived from Egypt. They cover the face of the earth and they're threatening me. Please come and curse these people for me because they're too powerful. Then perhaps I'll be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. I know that blessings fall on all the people you bless and curses fall on those you curse." Balak's messengers, who were elders of Moab and Midian, sent out with money to pay Balaam to place a curse upon Israel. They went to Balaam and delivered Balak's message to him. "Stay here overnight," Balaam said. "In the morning, I'll tell you whatever the Lord directs me to say." So the officials from Moab stayed with Balaam. That night, God came to Balaam and asked him, "Who are these men visiting you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me this message. Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come and curse these people for me. Then perhaps I'll be able to stand up to them and drive them out from the land." But God told Balaam, "Do not go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they have been blessed." And the next morning, Balaam got up and told Balak's officials, "Go on home. The Lord will not let me go with you." So the Moabite officials returned to King Balak and reported, "Balaam refused to come with us." Then Balak tried again. This time he sent a larger number of even more distinguished officers than those he had sent the first time. They went to Balaam and delivered this message to him. This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. We'll just call him Zippor. I mean, come on now. It looks like Zippor. "Please don't let anything stop you from coming to help me. I will pay you very well and do whatever you tell me. Just come and curse these people for me." But Balaam responded to Balak's message. "Even if Balak were to give his palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord my God. But stay here one more night, and I'll see if the Lord has anything else to say." That night, God came to Balaam and told him, "Since these men have come to you, get up and go with them, but do only what I tell you to do." So the next morning, Balaam got up, saddled his donkey, and started off with the Moabite officials. But God was angry that Balaam was going, so he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way. As Balaam and the two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey bolted off into a field. But Balaam beat it and turned it back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood at the place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it tried to squeeze by, and it crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved farther down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by. This time, when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam. In a fit of rage, Balaam beat the animal again. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. Donkey. The ability to speak. Wait, this isn't Shrek. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. "What have I done to you that deserve you beating me three times?" it asked Balaam. I mean, imagine your donkey just starts talking to you. You have made me look like a fool, Balaam shouted. And Balaam's like, I'm just going to talk back. Nothing weird going on here. We're not filming Shrek. Balaam shouted, if I had a sword, I would kill you. But I'm the same donkey you've ridden all your life, the donkey answered. Have I ever done anything like this before? No, Balaam admitted. How is Balaam just normally talking to the donkey? Like, there's no shock here. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. Why did you beat your donkey those three times? The angel of the Lord demanded. Look, I've come to block your way because you're stubbornly resisting me. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I would have certainly killed you by now and spared the donkey. Then Balaam confessed to the angel of the Lord. I have sinned. I didn't realize you were standing in the road to block my way. I will return home if you're against me going. But the angel of the Lord told Balaam, go with these men, but only say what I tell you to say. So Balaam went on with Balak's officials. When King Balak heard that Balaam was on the way, he went out to meet him at the Moabite town on the Arnon River, the farthest border of his land. Didn't I send you an urgent invitation? Why didn't you come right away? Balak asked Balaam, didn't you believe me when I said I would reward you richly? Balaam replied, look, now I have come, but I have no power to say whatever I want. I will speak only the message that God puts in my mouth. Then Balaam continued, accompanied Balak to Kiriath Huzoth, where the king sacrificed cattle and sheep. He sent portions of the meat to Balaam and the officials who were with him. The next morning, Balak took Balaam up to the Bamoth Baal, so many bees, from where he could see some of the people of Israel spread out below him. Chapter 23, Balaam blesses Israel. Then Balaam said to King Balak, build me 7 altars here and prepare 7 young bulls and 7 rams for me to sacrifice. Balak followed his instructions and the two of them sacrificed a young bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, stand here by your burnt offerings and I'll go to see if the Lord will respond to me. Then I will tell you whatever he reveals. So Balaam went alone to the top of the bare hill and God met him there. And Balaam said, I prepared 7 altars and have sacrificed a young bull and a ram on each altar. The Lord gave Balaam a message for King Balak. Then he said, go back to Balak and give him my message. So Balaam returned and found the king standing beside his burnt offering with all the officials of Moab. This was the message Balaam delivered. Balak summoned me to come from Aram. The king of Moab brought me from the eastern hills. Come, he said, curse Jacob for me. Come and announce Israel's doom. But how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? And how can I condemn those who God has not condemned? I see from the cliff tops, I watch them from the hills. I see people who live by themselves, set apart from other nations. Who can count Jacob's descendants as numerous as dust? Who can count even a fourth of Israel's people? Let me die like the righteous. Let my life end like theirs. Then King Balak demanded to Balaam, what have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies. Instead, you bless them. But Balaam said, I will speak only the message that the Lord puts in my mouth. Man, that would help if pastors were more like that. Then the King Balak told him, come with me to another place. There you'll see another part of the nation of Israel, but not all of them. Curse at least that many. So Balak took Balaam to the plateau of Zophim on Pisgah Peak. He built 7 altars there and offered a young bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to the king, stand here by your burnt offerings while I go over to meet the Lord. And the Lord met Balaam and gave him this message. Then he said, go back to Balak and give him my message. So Balaam returned and found the king standing beside the burnt offerings with all the officials of Moab. What did the Lord say? Balak asked eagerly. This is the message Balaam delivered. Rise up, Balak, and listen. Hear me, son of Zippor. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He's not a human, so he doesn't change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried through? Listen, I received a command to bless. God has blessed, and I can't reverse it. No misfortune is in his plan for Jacob. No trouble is in store for Israel. For the Lord their God is with them. He has proclaimed their king. God brought them out of Egypt. For them, he is as strong as a wild ox, and no curse can touch Jacob. No magic has any power against Israel. For now it'll be said of Jacob, what wonders God has done for Israel. These people rise up like a lioness, like a majestic lion rousing itself. Okay. They refuse to rest until they have feasted on prey, drinking the blood of the slaughtered. Then Balak said to Balaam, fine, but if you won't curse them, at least don't bless them. But Balaam replied to Balak, didn't I tell you? Come on, bro. Didn't I tell you that I can only do what the Lord tells me? Then King Balak said to Balaam, come, I will take you to one more place. Perhaps it'll please God to let you curse them from there. This dude is just stubborn. So Balak took Balaam to the top of Mount Peor, overlooking the wasteland. Balaam again told Balak, build me 7 altars and prepare 7 young bulls and 7 rams for me to sacrifice. So Balak did as Balaam ordered and offered a young bull and a ram on each altar. By now, Balaam realized that the Lord was determined to bless Israel, so he did not resort to divination as before. But instead, he turned and looked out towards the wilderness. When he saw the people of Israel camp, tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came upon him. And this is the message he delivered. This is the message of Balaam, son of Beor, the message of the man whose eyes see clearly, the message of one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who bows down with his eyes wide open. How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob! How lovely are your homes, O Israel! They spread before me like palm groves, like gardens by the riverside. They are like tall trees planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from their buckets. Their springs have all they need, and their king will be greater than Agag. Their kingdom will be exalted. God brought them out of Egypt. For them, he is as strong as a wild ox. He devours all the nations that oppose him, breaking their bones in pieces, shooting them with arrows. Like a lion, Israel crouches and lies down, like a lioness who dares to arouse her. Blessed is everyone who blesses you, O Israel, and cursed is everyone who curses you. King Balak flew into a rage against Balaam. He angrily clapped his hands and shouted, I called you to curse my enemies. Instead, you blessed them 3 times. Now get out of here. Go back home. I promised to reward you richly, but the Lord has kept you from your reward. Balaam told Balak, don't you remember what I told your messengers? I said, even if Balak were to give me this palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord. I told you that I can only say what the Lord says. Now I'm returning to my own people. But first, let me tell you what the Israelites will do to your people in the future. This is the message Balaam delivered. This is the message of Balaam, son of Beor, the message of the man whose eyes see clearly, the message of the one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who has visions from the Almighty, and who bows down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not here and now. I perceive him, but not far in the distant future. What a poet we have here. A star will rise from Jacob. A scepter will emerge from Israel. It'll crush the head of Moab's people, cracking their skulls of the people of Sheth. Edom will be taken over, and Seir, its enemy, will be conquered. While Israel marches on in triumph, a ruler will rise in Jacob, who will destroy the survivors of Ur. Then Balaam looked over toward the people of Amalek and delivered this message. Amalek was the greatest of the nations, but its destiny is destruction. Then he looked over toward the Kenites and delivered this message. Your home is secure. Your nest is set in the rocks. But the Kenites will be destroyed when Assyria takes you captive. Balaam concluded his message by saying, at last, who can survive unless God has willed it? Ships will come from the coast of Cyprus, and they'll oppress Assyria and afflict Eber. But they too will be utterly destroyed. Then Balaam left and returned home, and Balak also went on his way. Moab seduces Israel. Chapter 25. While the Israelites were camped at the Acacia Grove, some of the men defiled themselves by having sexual relations with local Moabite women. These women invited them to attend sacrifices to their gods, so the Israelites feasted with them and worshiped the gods of Moab. In this way, Israel joined in the worship of Baal of Peor, causing the Lord's anger to blaze against his people. The Lord issued the following command to Moses, "Seize all the ringleaders and execute them before the Lord in broad daylight. So his fierce anger will turn away from the people of Israel." So Moses ordered Israel's judges, each of you must put to death the men under your authority who have joined in worshiping Baal of Peor. Just then, one of the Israelite men brought a Midianite woman into his tent, right before the eyes of Moses and all the people, as everyone was weeping at the entrance of the tabernacle. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar and grandson of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he jumped up and left the assembly, and he took a spear. He rushed after the man into his tent, and Phinehas thrust the spear all the way through the man's body and into the woman's stomach. So the plague against the Israelites was stopped, but not before 24,000 people died. Then the Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, son of Eleazar and grandson of Aaron, the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites by being as zealous among them as I was. So I stopped destroying all Israel as I intended to do in my zealous anger. Now tell him that I'm making a special covenant of peace with him. And this covenant, I will give him and his descendants a permanent right to the priesthood. For in his zeal for me, his God, he purified the people of Israel, making them right with me. The Israelite man killed with the Midianite woman was named Zimri, son of Salu, the leader of a family from the tribe of Simeon. The woman's name was Cosby. She was the daughter of Zur, the leader of the Midianite clan. Then the Lord said to Moses, attack the Midianites and destroy them. Because they assaulted you with the sea and tricked you into worshiping Baal of Peor, and because of Cozbi, the daughter of the Midianite leader, who was killed at the time of the plague because of what happened at Peor. Chapter 26. After the plague had ended, the Lord said to Moses and to Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, from the whole community of Israel, record the names of all the warriors of the families, and list all the men 20 years old and older who are able to go to war. So there on the plains of Moab, beside the Jordan River, across from Jericho, Moses and Eleazar the priest issued these instructions to the leader of Israel. List all the men of Israel, 20 years old and older, just as the Lord commanded Moses. This is the record of all the descendants of Israel who came out of Egypt. All right, we are not reading descendants because I will just mispronounce all of these and be stuck here for 20 minutes. So there's all the descendants. If you want to read them on your own time, feel free. Tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Issachar, the tribe of Zebulun, the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Ephraim, the tribe of Benjamin. Oh, we're going through a lot of genealogy today. The tribe of Dan, the tribe of Asher. And this is just descendants. The Imnite clan named their ancestor Imna. The Ishvite clan named their ancestor Ishva. The Barite clan, it's inconsequential. The tribe of Naphtali, and then the results, okay? In summary, the registered troops of all of Israel numbered 601,000. Then the Lord said to Moses, divide the land among the tribes and distribute the grants of land portion proportion to the tribe's population as indicated by the number of names on the list. Give the larger numbers more land and the smaller tribes less land, each group receiving a grant in proportion to the size of its population. But you must assign the land by law and give land to each ancestral tribe according to the number of names on the list. Each grant of land must be assigned by lot among the larger and smaller tribal groups. This is the record of the Levites who were counted according to their clans. The Gershonite clan. Okay, we're not doing all this again. Nadab, Abihu. Okay. So these are the results of the registration of the people of Israel as conducted by Moses and Eleazar, the priest, on the plains of Moab beside the Jordan River across from Jericho. Not one person on this list had been among those listed in the previous registration taken by Moses and Aaron in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said to them, they will all die in the wilderness. Not one of them will survive except Caleb son of Jephunneh and Joshua son of Nun. Chapter 27. One day a petition was presented by the daughters of Zelophehad, Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Their father, oh man, help me, Lord, here we go. Zelophehad was a descendant of the Hefer, son of Gilead, son of Machor, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph. These women stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, tribal leaders, and the entire community at the entrance of the tabernacle. Our father died in the wilderness, they said. He was not among Korah's followers who rebelled against the Lord. He died because of his own sin, but he had no sons. Why should the name of our father disappear from the clan just because he had no sons? Give us property along with the rest of our relatives. So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, the claim of the daughter of Zelophehad is legitimate. You must give them a grant of land along with their father's relatives and assign them property that would have been given to their father. Give them the following instructions to the people of Israel. If a man dies and has no sons, then give his inheritance to his daughters. And if he has no daughter either, transfer the inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give the inheritance to his father's brothers. But if the father has no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in the clan. This is a legal requirement for the people of Israel, just as the Lord commanded. One day the Lord said to Moses, climb one of the mountains east of the river and look out over the land I've given the people of Israel. After you've seen it, you'll die like your brother Aaron, for you both rebelled against my instructions in the wilderness of Zin. When the people of Israel rebelled, you failed to demonstrate my holiness to them at the waters. Then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Please appoint a new man as a leader of the community. Give them someone who will guide them for wherever they go and lead them into battle, so the community of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd. The Lord replied, take Joshua, son of Nun, who has a spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. Present him to Eleazar the priest before the whole community and publicly commission him to lead the people. Transfer some of your authority to him, and to the whole community of Israel will obey him. When direction from the Lord is needed, Joshua will stand before Eleazar the priest, who will use the Urim, one of the sacred lots cast before the Lord, to determine his will. This is how Joshua and the rest of the community of Israel will determine everything they should do. So Moses did as the Lord commanded. He presented Joshua to Eleazar, the priest, and the whole community. Moses laid his hands on him and commissioned him to lead the people, just as the Lord commanded through Moses. Chapter 28. The Lord said to Moses, "Give these instructions to the people of Israel. The offerings you present as special gifts are a pleasing aroma to me. They are my food. See to it that they are brought to the appointed times and offered according to my instructions. Say to the people, this is the special gift you must present to the Lord. For your daily burnt offering, you must offer 2 1-year-old male lambs with no defects. Sacrifice one lamb in the morning and the other in the evening. With each lamb, you must offer a grain offering of 2 quarts of choice flour mixed with 1 quart of pure olive oil, pressed olives. This is the regular burnt offering instituted at Mount Sinai as a special gift, pleasing aroma to the Lord. Along with it, you must present the proper liquid offering of 1 quart of alcoholic drink with each lamb, poured out in the holy place as an offering to the Lord. Offer the second lamb in the evening with the same grain of offering and a liquid offering. It is too a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. On the Sabbath day, sacrifice 2 1-year-old male lambs with no defects. They must be accompanied by a grain offering with 4 quarts, choice flour moistened with olive oil and a liquid offering. This is the burnt offering to be presented each Sabbath day in addition to the regular burnt offering and its accompanying liquid offering. On the first day of each month, present an extra burnt offering to the Lord of 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 1-year-old lambs, all with no defects. These must be accompanied by grain offerings of choice flour moistened with olive oil, 6 quarts with each bull, 4 quarts with the ram, and 2 quarts with each lamb. This burnt offering will be a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You must also present a liquid offering with each sacrifice, 2 quarts of wine for each bull, 1/3 gallon for the ram, and 1 quart for each lamb. Present this monthly burnt offering on the first day of each month throughout the year. On the first day of each month, you must also offer 1 male goat as a sin offering to the Lord. This is in addition to the regular burnt offering and accompanying liquid offering. Oh, help me, Lord. On the 14th day of the first month, you must celebrate the Lord's Passover. On the following day, which is the 15th day of the month, a joyous 7-day festival will begin, but no bread to be made with yeast may be eaten. On the first day of the festival will be an official day for holy assembly, and no ordinary work may be done on that day. As a special gift, you must present a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 1-year-old male lambs, all with no defects. These will be accompanied by grain offerings of choice flour, moistened with olive oil, 6 quarts with each bull, 4 quarts with the ram, 2 quarts with each of the 7 lambs. You must also offer a male goat as a sin offering to purify yourselves and make yourselves right with God. Present these offerings in addition to your regular morning burnt offering. On each of the 7 days of the festival, this is how you must prepare the food offering that is presented as a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. These will be offered in addition to the regular burnt offerings and liquid offerings. On the 7th day of the festival will be another official day for holy assembly, and no ordinary work may be done on that day. At the festival of the harvest, when you present the first of your new grain to the Lord, you must call on the official for holy assembly, and you must do no ordinary work on that day. Present a special burnt offering on that day as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. It'll consist of 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 1-year-old male lambs. This will be accompanied by grain offerings of choice flour, moistened with olive oil, 6 quarts with each bull, and 4 quarts with the ram, and 2 quarts with each of the 7 lambs. Also, offer 1 male goat to purify yourselves and make yourselves right with the Lord. Prepare these special burnt offerings along with their liquid offerings in addition to the regular burnt offerings and its accompanying grain offering. Be sure that all the animals you sacrifice have no defects. Chapter 29. Celebrate the Festival of Trumpets each year on the first day of the appointed month in early autumn. You must call an official day for the Holy Assembly, and you must do no ordinary work. On that day, you must present a burnt offering as a pleasing aroma. Again, I read this and I'm just like, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. We don't have to do all this anymore. Man. Verse 3. These must be accompanied by grain offerings of choice flour, moistened with olive oil, 6 quarts with the bull and 4 quarts with the ram, and 2 quarts with each of the 7 lambs. In addition, you must sacrifice a male goat as a sin offering to purify yourselves and make yourselves right with the Lord. These special offerings, sacrifices, are in addition to your regular monthly and daily burnt offerings, and they must be given with the prescribed grain offerings and liquid offerings. These offerings are given as a special gift to the Lord, a pleasing aroma to him. 10 days later, on the 10th day of the same month, you must call another holy assembly. On that day, the Day of Atonement, the people must go without food and must do no ordinary work. You must present a burnt offering as a pleasing aroma to the Lord, and it will consist of one young bull, one ram, and 7 1-year-old male lambs, all with no defects. These offerings must be accompanied by the prescribed grain of choice flour moistened. That's so hard to say for some reason, with olive oil. It's like, this is like all tongue twisters. Six quarts of choice flour with the bull, 4 quarts of choice flour with the ram, and 2 quarts of choice flour with each of the 7 lambs. You must also sacrifice 1 male goat for a sin offering. This is in addition to the sin offering of atonement and the regular daily burnt offering with its grain offering and their accompanying liquid offerings. 5 days later, on the 15th day of the same month, you must call another holy assembly of all the people. And you may do no ordinary work on that day. It's the beginning of the festival Shelters, a 7-day festival to the Lord. On the first day of the festival, you must present a burnt offering as a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. It'll consist of 13 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 1-year-old male lambs with no defects. Each of these offerings must be accompanied by a grain offering of choice flour moistened with olive oil, 6 quarts for each of the 13 bulls, 4 quarts for each of the 2 rams, and 2 quarts for each of the 14 lambs. You must also sacrifice a male goat as a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering with its accompanying grain offering and liquid offering. On the second day of the 7-day festival, sacrifice 12 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 1-year-old male lambs with no defects. Each of these offerings of bulls, rams, lambs, hams, tomatoes, onions, potatoes. Oh, wait, no, sorry, that's a different song. Each of these offerings of bulls, rams, and lambs must be accompanied by its prescribed grain offering and liquid offering. You must also sacrifice a male goat as a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering with its accompanying grain offering and liquid offering. On the third day of the festival, sacrifice 11 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 1-year-old male lambs, all with no defects. Each of these offspring of bulls, rams, and lambs must be accompanied by its prescribed grain offering and liquid offering. Oh, man. You must also sacrifice a male goat as a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering with its accompanying grain offering and liquid offering. On the fourth day of the festival, sacrifice 10 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 1-year-old male lambs, all with no defects. Each of the offerings of bulls, rams, hams, lambs, potatoes, tomatoes, must be accompanied by its prescribed offering and liquid offering. You must also sacrifice a male goat as a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering with its accompanying grain offering and liquid offering. On the fifth day of the festival, sacrifice 9 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 1-year-old male lambs, all with no defects. Each of these offerings of bulls, rams, lambs, that song keeps going in my head of that lady. You guys know what I'm talking about? She's like, thank you, Lord. I forgot what it goes, but it's like potatoes, yams, I don't know. Must be accompanied by prescribed grain and liquid offering. You must also sacrifice a male goat as a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering and its accompanying grain offering and liquid offering. On the sixth day of the festival, sacrifice 8 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 1-year-old male lambs, all with no defects. Each of these offerings of bulls, rams, and lambs must be accompanied by its prescribed grain offering and liquid offering. You must also sacrifice a male goat as a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering with the accompanying offering and liquid offering. On the seventh day of the festival, sacrifice 7 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 1-year-old male lambs, all with no defects. Each of these offerings of bulls, rams, and lambs must be accompanied by the prescribed grain and liquid offering. You must also sacrifice 1 male goat as a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering with the accompanying grain offering and liquid offering. On the eighth day of the festival, proclaim another holy day. You must do no ordinary work on that day. You must present a burnt offering as a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. It'll consist of 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 7 1-year-old male lambs, all with no defects. Each of these offerings must be accompanied by its prescribed grain offering and liquid offering. You must also sacrifice 1 male goat as a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering with its accompanying grain and liquid offering. You must present these offerings to the Lord at your annual festivals. These are in addition to the sacrifices and offerings you present in connection with vows or as voluntary offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings, liquid offerings, or peace offerings. Some of you don't want to hear about the offerings in church. This is the Bible. So Moses gave all these instructions as the Lord had commanded. 40 verses. Look at that. Of all the offerings. Wow, that's a lot of reading. Okay, here we go. Chapter 30, Laws Concerning Vows. Then Moses summoned the elders of the tribes of Israel and told them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. A man who makes a vow to the Lord or makes a special pledge under oath must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do. If a young woman makes a vow to the Lord or a pledge under oath while she's still living at her father's home, and her father hears the vow or pledge and does not object to it, all of her vows and pledges will stand. But if her father refuses to let her fulfill the vow or pledge on the day he hears it, then all her vows and pledges will become invalid. The Lord will forgive her because her father would not let her fulfill them. Now, suppose a young woman makes a vow or binds herself with an impulsive pledge and later marries. If her husband learns of her vow or pledge and does not object on the day he hears it, her vows and pledges will stand. But if her husband refuses to accept her vows or impulse pledge on the day he hears it, he nullifies her commitments and the Lord will forgive her. If, however, a woman is a widow or is divorced, she must fulfill all her vows and pledges. But suppose a woman is married and living in her husband's home when she makes a vow or binds herself with a pledge. If her husband hears it and does not object, her vow or pledge will stand. But if her husband refuses to accept it on the day he hears it, her vow or pledge will be nullified and the Lord will forgive her. So her husband may either confirm or nullify any vows or pledges she makes to deny herself. But if he does not object on the day he hears it, then he is agreeing to all her vows and pledges. If he waits more than a day, then tries to nullify a vow or pledge, he'll be punished for her guilt. These are the regulations that the Lord gave Moses concerning relationships between a man and his wife, between a father and a young daughter who still lives at the home. Chapter 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, "On behalf of the people of Israel, take revenge on the Midianites for leading them into idolatry. After that, you will die and join your ancestors." So Moses said to the people, "Choose some men and arm them to fight the Lord's war of revenge against Midian. From each tribe of Israel, send 1,000 men into battle." So they chose 1,000 men from each tribe of Israel, a total of 12,000 men armed for battle. Then Moses sent them out, 1,000 men from each tribe, and Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, led them into battle. They carried along the holy objects of the sanctuary and the trumpets for surrounding the charge. They attacked the Midians as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they killed all the men. All of the 5 Midianite kings, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, died in the battle. They also killed Balaam, son of Beor, with the sword. Then the Israelite army captured the Midianite women and children and seized their cattle and flocks and all their wealth as plunder. They burned all the towns and villages where the Midianites had lived. After they had gathered the plunder and captives, both people and animals, they brought them all to Moses and Eleazar the priest, and to the whole community of Israel, which was camped on the plains of Moab beside the Jordan River, across from Jericho. Moses, Eleazar the priest, and all the leaders of the community went to meet them outside the camp. But Moses was furious with all the generals and captains who had returned from battle. "Why have you let all the women live?" he demanded. "These are the very ones who followed Balaam's advice and accused the people of Israel to rebel against the Lord at Mount Peor. They are the ones who caused the plague to strike the Lord's people. So kill all the boys and all the women who have had intercourse with a man. Only the young girls who are virgins may live. You may keep them for yourselves." "And all of you who have killed anyone or touched a dead body must stay outside the camp for 7 days. You must purify yourselves and your captives on the 3rd and 7th days. Purify all your clothing, too, and everything made of leather, goat hair, or wood." Then Eleazar the priest said to the men who were in the battle, "The Lord has given Moses this legal requirement. Anything made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, tin, or lead, that is, all metals that do not burn, must be passed through fire in order to be made ceremonially pure. These metal objects must then be purified with the water of purification, but everything that burns must be purified by water alone. On the 7th day, you must wash your clothes and be purified. Then you may return to the camp." And the Lord said to Moses, "You and Eleazar the priest and the family leaders of each tribe are to make a list of all the plunder taken in the battle, including the people and animals. Then divide the plunder into 2 parts and give half to the men who fought the battle and half to the rest of the people. From the army's portion, first give the Lord his share of the plunder, 1 of every 500 of the prisoners and of the cattle, donkeys, sheep, and goats. Give this share of the army's half to Eleazar the priest as an offering to the Lord. From half that belong to the people of Israel, take 1 every 50 of the prisoners and of the cattle, donkeys, sheep, goats, and other animals. Give this share to the Levites, who are in charge of maintaining the Lord's tabernacle." So Moses and Eleazar the priest did as the Lord commanded Moses. The plunder remaining from everything the fighting men had taken totaled 675,000 sheep and goats, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, 32,000 virgin girls. Half of the plunder was given to the fighting men and totaled 337 sheep and goats, 1,000 sheep and goats, which 675 were the Lord's share. 36,000 cattle, 72 of the Lord's share, 30,000 donkeys, 61 the Lord's share. 16,000 virgin girls, 32 were the Lord's share. Moses gave all the Lord's share to Eleazar the priest, just as the Lord had directed him. Different times back then, y'all. That's all I'm going to say. Half of the plunder belonged to the people of Israel, and Moses separated it from half belonging to the fighting men. It totaled 337,500 sheep and goats, 36,000 cattle, 30,000 donkeys, and 16,000 virgin girls. From half the share given to the people, Moses took one of every 50 prisoners and animals and gave them to the Levites, who maintained the tabernacle. Wait, did I already read this? No, I didn't. It's just repeating itself. Then all the generals and captains came to Moses and said, "We, your servants, have accounted for all the men who went out to battle under our command. Not one of us is missing. So we are presenting the items of gold we captured as an offering to the Lord from our share of the plunder. Armbands, bracelets, rings, earrings, and necklaces. This will purify our lives before the Lord and make us right with him." So Moses and Eleazar the priest received the gold from all the military commanders, all kinds of jewelry and crafted objects. In all, the gold of all the generals and captains presented as a gift to the Lord weighed 420 pounds. All the frightening men had taken some of the plunder for themselves, so Moses and Eleazar the priest accepted the gifts from the generals and captains and brought the gold to the tabernacle as a reminder to the Lord that the people of Israel belonged to him. All right. Here we go, chapter 32, last chapter for today. The tribes of Reuben and Gad owned vast numbers of livestock. So when they saw the land of Jazer and Gilead were ideally suited for livestock and their flocks and herds, they came to Moses, Eleazar the priest, and the other leaders of the community and said, "Notice the towns of Adaroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elilah, Sibmah, Nebo, and beyond. The Lord has conquered this whole area for the community of Israel, and it's ideally suited for livestock. If we found favor, please let us have this land as our property instead of giving us land across the Jordan River." They didn't want to cross over. It's like the religious people, they don't want to cross the Jordan. Some of you cross over. I preach a whole sermon on this text right here. "Do you intend to stay here while your brothers go and do all the fighting?" That's what I want to know. Are you just going to sit there while your brothers do all the fighting? Moses asked the men of Gad and Reuben, "Why do you want to discourage the rest of the people of Israel from going across the land the Lord has given them? Your idleness and lack of fight will discourage other people from fighting. Your ancestors did the same thing when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. After they went up to the valley of Eshcol and explored the land, they discouraged the people of Israel from entering the land the Lord was giving them. Then the Lord was very angry, and he vowed, 'Of all those I rescued from Egypt, no one who is 20 years old or older will ever see the land I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for they have not obeyed me wholeheartedly. The only exceptions are Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they wholeheartedly followed the Lord.' Then the Lord was angry with Israel and made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that entire generation that sinned against the Lord had died. But here you are, a brood of sinners, doing exactly the same thing. You're making the Lord even angry with Israel. If you turn away from him like this and he abandons them again in the wilderness, you'll be responsible for destroying this entire nation." But they approached Moses and said, "We simply want to build pens for our livestock and fortify towns for our wives and children. Then we will arm ourselves and lead our fellow Israelites into battle. We have brought them safely to their land. Meanwhile, our families will stay in the fortified towns we build, so they will be safe from the attacks by the local people. We will not return to our homes until all the people of Israel have received their portion of the land. But we do not claim any of the land on the other side of the Jordan. We would rather live here on the east side and accept this as our grant of land." You east side Christians don't want to cross over to the promise. "Then Moses said, 'If you keep your word and arm yourselves for the Lord's battle, and if your troops cross the Jordan and keep fighting until the Lord has driven out his enemies, then you may return to what the Lord has conquered the land, and you'll be fulfilled your duty to the Lord and to the rest of the people of Israel. And the land on the east side of the Jordan will be your property from the Lord. But if you fail to keep your word, then you have sinned against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Go ahead and build towns for your families and pens for your flocks, but do everything you promise.' Then the men of Gad and Reuben replied, 'We, your servants, will follow your instructions. Our children's wives, livestock, and cattle will stay here in the towns of Gilead. But all who are able to bear arms will cross over to fight for the Lord, just as you have said.' So Moses gave orders to Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the leaders of the clans of Israel. He said, 'The men of Gad and Reuben who are armed for the battle must cross the Jordan with you to fight for the Lord. If they do, give them the land of Gilead as their property when the land is conquered. But if they refuse to arm themselves and cross over with you, then they accept the land with the rest of you in the land of Canaan.' The tribes of Gad and Reuben said, 'We are your servants and will do as the Lord commanded. We will cross the Jordan into Canaan, fully armed to fight for the Lord, but our property will be on this side of the Jordan.' So Moses assigned to the land of tribes of. So Moses assigned land to the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph. He gave them the entire territory of King Sihon of the Amorites and the land of King Og, the Bashan, the whole land with its cities and surrounding lands. The descendants of Gad built towns of Dibon, Adaroth, Oria, Atroth, Shophin, Jazer, Jagbaha, Beth Nimrah, and Beth Haran. These were all fortified towns with pens for their flocks. The descendants of Reuben built the towns of Heshbon, Elealah, Kiriatham, Nebu, Baal-Meon, and Sibma. They changed the names of some of the towns they conquered and rebuilt. The descendants of Machir of the tribe of Manasseh went to Gilead to conquer it, and they drove out the Amorites living there. So Moses gave Gilead to the Machirites. Okay, Machirites. They must like Mac computers. Descendants of Manasseh, and they settled there. The people of Jair, another clan of the tribe of Manasseh, captured as many towns in Gilead and changed the name of the region of the towns of Jair. Meanwhile, a man named Noba captured the town of Kenith and its surrounding villages, and he renamed the area Noba after himself. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have concluded for today. I pre-recorded this and aired it live because I am currently right now at the hospital with Alyssa. If you don't know, she just got surgery or she's getting surgery as this airs, something like that. She broke her nose in high school and they're going to finally correct it because she has breathing issues because her nose was broken for so many years and other things. So they're going to correct her nose and re-break it, straighten it out, all that. So be praying for her. Be praying for our family. I so appreciate every single one of you being here every day. It's a long read oftentimes, and we're just excited that you guys are here. So thank you for being here. Please make sure you share this broadcast, type some ones in the chat, like the broadcast. Once it gets posted, go comment for the algorithm and support us monthly right here, isaiahsaldivar.com/partner. Your support goes a long way. We couldn't do it without you guys. Here we go, guys. We got a long way to go, but we're moving. Make sure you also watch the live stream from last night with Jenny Weaver. It was amazing. So make sure that you guys go watch that. I love you guys so much. And I will catch you guys tomorrow live at 2:00. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.